Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Today, as you take your seat, we're going to go to, guess where? Hebrews. Only the surprise is here as we're going to Hebrews, the second chapter. Now, we've been in Hebrews, the first chapter, for like 5 or 6 months. And that has been a great chapter of great awareness. It was amazing. But yet the second chapter is just as fulfilling and just as exciting. Some of you might say to me, Pastor Jim, wait a minute. We haven't finished the first chapter yet. You didn't finish verse number 14. And you said you were going to come back to verse number 7. I remember that. But let me explain by reading these verses what it's all about. But first, let me give you a scenario and set you up of what we're going to and why we are going to where we're going. You need to hear this. There's a reason why we do what we do. There's a reason why you've come into this place today. There's a reason why we're going to the Word of God and what you can expect to get out of it. First of all, let's take a look at the actual writer of this text of Hebrews. The point being is, as the Holy Spirit is the actual writer, God is speaking to that generation and to this generation. In that generation, they were just like us today. We keep putting things before God. They kept putting things before God. They put their rituals, their ceremonies, they put their prophets, they put their ideologies and philosophies before Jesus Christ. They put Moses before Jesus Christ. They put angels before Jesus Christ, all of which were more important than Jesus. And the writer of this text, which is writing to them then, is also writing to you and I today, because it's been preserved so that you and I can look into the Word of God and find the heartbeat, character, and nature of God. The writer then is saying something that's just as valid to you and I today. We have a tendency to put a lot of things before Jesus Christ. And the whole point of this text is to tell us nothing should go before Jesus. He is the preeminent one, which means he is out there above, beyond, better than anyone else and anything else. But in our own lives, we exalt all kinds of stuff all the time. We're always lifting up our activities. We lift up our jobs. We lift up our kids. We lift up our finances. We lift up our family. We lift up our marriages. We lift up our relatives. We lift up our society. We lift up the social systems. We lift up movie stars and famous people. All the time we're looking for something when in fact we've got Jesus. And God is saying to all of us that we need to watch ourselves, that we don't put anything before the importance of understanding who Jesus is. And that's why the title of this message is so important for us today. It's really called giving attention to what is important. Because if you don't give attention to what's important, then where are you giving attention? And in who are you giving attention? And what are you giving attention that's more important than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? There's nothing, nobody. And yet we make more of an effort for other things than we do with God. And God is, if you will, warning us today as we go to the Word of God. Now back, if you will, I'm going to pop up about angels. I'm going to go to verse number 7 and verse number 14 and tell you why we're not teaching you about angels today. Because quite frankly, you need to know about angels. Most people, if an angel showed up in their living room, would not have any idea what to do with it, just freak out. And whatever the angel would say, you would do. And let me tell you something, that's how cults have gotten started in America. You need to know the difference. In fact, in verse number 7, let's just pop it up on the overhead, it says these words. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Speaking of angels. Verse number 14, remember that verse. It says this, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Let me tell you something. Those that inherit salvation, angels are there. But you know there's good angels and there's bad angels. So a week from tonight, Deborah is going to start a series, four-part series on angels and demons. I heard her teach this in college about four to a Bible college about 15, 18 years ago. And it was phenomenal. It's the best teaching I've ever heard on angels and demons in my life. And I've read like 8 or 9 books on the subject, and I never could quite get there with anything except I heard that and it made sense. It needs to make sense inside of you so you can understand the emphasis of where you put and place your heart. Because without an understanding of that, man, you're going to just do whatever you feel like doing and think whatever you think and end up doing something you don't want to do and end up in a place you don't want to be. So today, as we go to the word of the Lord, we're going to the second chapter, verse number 1. And I'll read it for you because he's talking about that angels and he's talking about the emphasis they were putting on angels. And he starts off verse number 1 of the second chapter with the word therefore. In other words, because of what I just said to you in chapter number 1. We must give the more earnest heed to the things of which we have heard, lest we drift away. This is a warning telling every single one of us that the importance of hearing what the word of God, what God says and who God is more important than anything. And if we don't pay attention to what is important, we have a tendency to drift away. And that's why people who used to be in church 5, 6, 8, 10 years ago used to come to church all the time. And now they'd only hardly ever go to church at all. Why? Because they didn't put an importance on the things of God which they had heard. And this warning comes along and says something that's absolutely shocking. And I don't know about you, but I know about me. I don't want to drift away. In the last days, when the eastern sky splits, I want to be ready for Jesus Christ. I want him to look at you and I and say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to be here today and gone to Maui tomorrow. If God's got the answers, then let me follow God. If God knows the direction, let me follow God's direction. If God's got the plan, I want God's plan. If man doesn't have the plan, but God has the plan, then you and I need to get serious about God. And that's what he's talking about. And we spend so much time, pay so much attention to other things, very little to God. I was reading in the parable, it just happened to be in Matthew, the 13th chapter this week, when God started speaking to me about this very subject of hearing the word of God and what you and I are to do with it. Because remember, if we don't pay earnest attention to it, there's a tendency that we will slip away, drift away. And so I was reading in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and it was really kind of fascinating. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and his disciples made a statement to him. And the statement that they made has a lot to do with what's being said there in the first verse of the second chapter of Hebrews. He makes this statement. The disciples say, Jesus, why do you always talk to us in parables? The answer to that was really fascinating to me. We could go on for 2 months about the answer. He said, because you are privileged to hear this. You understand it. You know it. But those that are around you don't get it. I'm putting it in my terminology now. They don't get it. So I speak to them in analogies that they can understand, so they might have a hope to get it. And then he goes in and he starts to explain some prophecy from Isaiah. The Old Testament, there was a prophet that spoke about the condition of the people. And I want you to know something. I refuse to pastor people with the condition that the prophet is describing. And my job is to make sure that you and I never get to the place where we don't put an emphasis on the things of God, but we always have a high emphasis and high attention paying it to the things of the Lord. And nothing comes before God. That's my job. Let me put it in layman's terms. I'm here to turn you on to Jesus. And sometimes in order to do that, I'm going to get in your face. And get ready. Today, I'm in a face mood. Why? Because I love you. I'm not afraid of you. I have a job to do. And I care so much about you. There's a day coming when you will stand before God, and someone needs to love you enough, respect you enough, and honor you enough to stop playing church and say it like it is. As we look at the word of the Lord, I want to take you to Matthew, the 13th chapter. I want to read to you the prophecy that's shocking that I believe that none of us are going to operate in because we're going to be aware of where we put our attention and how we need to spend our time in the things of the Lord. In the 13th chapter, it says, and Jesus is speaking in verse number 14 of the 13th chapter, it says, and in them the prophecy Isaiah is fulfilled, in those people that don't understand, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Verse 15. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see in their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. The word heal doesn't talk about just physical healing. The word healing means make your marriage good, make your life good, bless you in every area, open doors that no man can open. And closed doors that no man could close. He's talking about living an abundant life. God says, I want to give you an abundant life, but if you can't hear me and if you can't see me, you're never going to have it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of those kinds of people. That's why, listen to me, my friends, that's why in chapter 2, verse number 1, there's a warning that says if you don't pay attention to what's important, in the things of God, you'll drift away. I don't want you to drift away, and I'm fighting for your souls right now. But then he comes along and he makes this statement after the prophetic utterance of Isaiah, and he starts to talk to his disciples, and he says these words that are good for us today. He says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say unto you, many prophets and religious men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now stop and think about what he just said. He says all those prophets of the past and all those men of the past that were spiritual who desired to see what you see, they didn't see it. And to hear what you hear, they didn't hear it. But you get to have it. And that's where we're at today. We have it right here in front of us. We've seen it. We know he went to the cross. We know the tomb is empty. All the things they didn't see, we have seen. There's no excuse for us not to hear and see the things of the Lord. He comes along and he makes this statement. Therefore, because of what I said, hear the parable of the sower. Now, a sower is someone who puts something in and gets something out. Now I want you to know something. God's expecting you to put something in and get something out. Don't expect to get something out if you don't put something in. If you stop right there, just talk about the word sower for a long time. You and I, what you sow, you shall, what the Bible says, reap. So if you sow nothing, you reap what? Nothing. And so he comes along and he makes this statement in verse number 19. Then anyone who hears the word of the kingdom, stop and think about it. Anybody that hears the word of the kingdom, didn't he just warn us that we ought to pay attention to what we hear? Anybody that hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, when the wicked one comes and snatches away what's sown in his heart, this is he who receives the seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed, speaking of the word, circle it in your Bible, write the word word right there by the seed, on stony ground. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself and endures for a little while. For when the tribulations and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. That's most of the church today. They get it, they're happy about getting it, and as soon as pressure comes, they're gone. I don't want that to be you. I don't want it to be me. I don't want to come in a house of God like this and hear the word of God, get excited about being in church, get excited about hearing the truth. You can feel it when you walk out that you are just in the right place with God. Something good just happened to you. You know it when you walk out of this place. And then because the tribulations and pressures come against me, I'm immediately gone. And then it goes on and he makes this statement, and I love it in verse number 21. He says, "Yet he has no root in himself and endures only for a while. For while the tribulations and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles." In other words, he didn't get it. He got it in his head. He didn't get it in his heart. And he's pushed away from the things of the Lord because he didn't put an emphasis or pay attention to the word of the Lord. Now let's talk. Listen to this, verse 22. Now, he who receives the word among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches cloak the word, and he becomes unfruitful. In other words, he's got the word, he's heard the word, but he's got more emphasis on something else instead of the word of God, and he never produces anything. That's what he's talking about. But this last verse, verse number 23, really gives us a great insight on how you and I must build our lives around it, how we should pay attention to that which is important. In verse number 23, it goes on, he says, but he who receives the word on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and he who bears fruit and produces some 100 and some 60 and some 30. We're going to talk about that. Mark it in your Bible, because this is an insight for you to see. I don't want to be someone who doesn't pay attention to what's important and put a lot of importance and a lot of attention on stuff that isn't important. I want to put my attention on what's important so that I can be what God would have me to be, so that I can live a life that's totally complete with God and fulfilled in every area of my life. And I know you do too. So today, as we go into the word of the Lord, there's some things that we need to discuss, and it's called giving attention to what is important. Five things God shared with me right from this verse that you're going to like. Five little things that you need to make note of and think about in your life. Because here's the warning. The warning is, if you don't pay attention to what's important, you're going to slip away and fall and fail and then wonder what happened and blame it on God, and it's not God at all, it's you. Is anybody listening? Five little things on giving attention to what's important. Number one. So simple, place a value on God's word. I can't make you do that. Listen to what I just said. I can stand up here for how many years? 35 years with veins popping out of my neck. And now I'm an old man standing up here with veins popping out of my neck, trying to get people to put a value on the things of the Lord all of my life. I can't do it. Only you can make the decision to get in and say the word of God is valuable and important to me and do something about it. But I want you to hear me. You cannot say Jesus is valuable to you and not put the same value on his word. Wait a minute. I'm going to say it again. You cannot say Jesus is valuable to you and not put the value in his word. I love Jesus, but you don't love his word. Jesus comes along and says, man, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Not talking about 10 commandments, talking about the word of God. Jesus comes along in John, the first chapter, says, Jesus is the word made flesh. And people come along and say, I love Jesus, but I really don't value the word. You know what you are? You're a liar or a hypocrite. And somebody needs to tell you to stop it. I can't even get you after all these years to carry a Bible. I will buy you a Bible to bring it to church to learn the word of God. And there's no way in the world I'm going to let you get away with the fact that you say, I have value in Jesus, but I don't understand the value in the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. It's his very character. It's his very nature. It's his very attributes. It's his very plan. It's his very heartbeat. Jesus. And if you and I come to church thinking we can just get away with saying we love Jesus and not love his church, you're a hypocrite or a liar or you're just stupid. And you may never have had any preacher tell you that, but this is a preacher that's telling you the truth. You know why? Because you're going to stand before God someday, and somebody needs to tell you this is not a game. It's not a game. You could have gone to any other church. Some of you are thinking to yourself, well, I should have gone to Calvary today. Maybe you should have. But in this place, I will stand before God. My job is to make sure you get some changes. I don't want you to come in and sing a song, raise your hands, speak in tongues and not follow His word. What good is that? It's following His word that He backs, that brings the blessings. For when you hear, see, heart receives it, you turn, and He says, and I will heal them. Every area of your life is a promise from God. And I love you so much, I want you to have it. I fight for it all the time. And I may have offended some of you. Too bad. There's always a church out there that won't offend you. But there's very few pastors that will love you enough to tell you like it is. And today, we need to be a people that are wise enough to understand you cannot come along and say, I value Jesus without valuing His word. His word is what He is. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. In fact, notice what it says in Hebrews, the second chapter, verse number 1. It says these words, therefore we, somebody say the next word, must. Therefore we, someone say the next word, must. We ought to preach on the musts of the Bible. We must give the more earnest heed, pay strong attention to the things that you've heard, the word of God. Your ears open, never become dull. Spending time, so important for us. We're talking about giving attention to what's important. Here's number 2. You're going to have to give attention to what's important by learning how to hear. You don't just hear, you learn how to hear. And you learn how to hear by hearing. Sounds funny, doesn't it? But if I don't make time to hear from God, and we have a lost art in American churches and in America in general, we're so bogged down with noises and sounds, with things to do, that we really don't have time for God. And I've got to learn how to get into a place that's quiet. I've got to get into a place we come to church. It's the noisiest church on the block. Sorry it is. Even though it's fun. And it sings the noisiest songs on the whole block. Sorry it is, and it's fun and it's great. But there's a time when you and I have got to get into a solitude position with God where it's just you and God, and you hear the voice of the Lord. And it might be for the first 2 weeks, every time you get quiet, you fall asleep. But at least you're there trying, and eventually God will speak. And you'll learn to hear from God. David, greatest king Israel has ever known, learned how to be a king. Not from king school. There are no kings to go to school and find out how to be a king. Learned how to be the greatest king and governor over Israel has ever been. Not because he went to school and got a degree. He learned how to be a king, and he learned how to be a governor over all the land, doubling the boundaries, bringing commerce in, export, import. The greatest king Israel has ever known brought prosperity to the land. Everybody was wealthy under the administration of David. How? Because on the hills of Judea, when he was a young boy, he learned the voice of the Lord. And there with those sheep in this lonely, monotonous, and boring atmosphere, he sang to God and God sang to him. He wrote the songs down, and today we read them ourselves today. They are the inspired word of God. He learned the voice of the Lord in a place of monotony. He learned the voice of the Lord in a place of boredom. He learned the place of the Lord in a place of solitude. Listen, sometimes we just got to have noise all the time. And God is saying, settle down and learn how to hear from me. Did you know that a man spends more time answering his emails on a daily basis than speaking to his wife? How much more to God? Did you know that's a fact? Did you know we're filled with Twitters, Facebook? Everybody that doesn't have a personality can hardly wait for someone to hear what their personality has done that day. Oh, I'm constipated this morning. Like, who cares? You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And it's constant noise going off in your face. instead of settling ourselves down, learning the art of being quiet before the Lord, learning the voice of the Lord. You'll learn when you come into the house of God, but then you take what you learn and go get alone with God and let God speak to you about it. It's absolutely wonderful. But if you just jot it down and walk out or never think about it again, it does you no good at all. You'll not hear anything but the preacher's voice. Is anybody listening? Listen to what it says in Matthew, the 13th chapter, again, verse 23. But he who receives seed on good ground, that ought to be you and I, is he who hears the word. I like number three. We're talking about giving attention to what's important. Number one, you got to place a value on God's word. Number two, you got to learn how to hear God's word. Number three, you got to, I like this, hear to understand. Listen to me. Can I say this to you? You can speak Chinese to me. I will hear you, but I won't understand you. And a lot of you come into the house of God and you hear me, but you do not understand me. It's just noise to you, and you'll walk out and means nothing to you. In order to hear to understand, it means a big difference. I can walk right now over our Spanish service that's going on right now, filled with people speaking Spanish. They're singing songs. I don't know what they are. Pastor Powell, Dr. Powell is up there preaching the gospel. I have no idea what he's saying. The guy could be a cultist as far as I know. I know he's not. I'm playing with you, playing with you. I have no idea what he's saying. Only thing I know as a gringo is burrito and taco. And the Spanish words hot sauce. Is that Spanish? Is that... Oh, you say it's salsa. I call it hot sauce because I'm white. I don't know about any of that stuff. See, I can hear but not understand, and I've got to work to not only hear but understand. Are you following me? Without it working. Now, here's how this works. Biblically, here's how it works. You hear with your ears. It goes into your mind. You have not heard it yet. Until it drops into the heart. When it drops into the heart, then it becomes alive. And it produces the quality that you want produced. We hear with our ears. We retain it in our mind. We never learn how to understand, which lets it drop into our hearts. And now we can just live it without thinking it because it's in our hearts. Let me give you an illustration. I've given this illustration for hundreds of years, it seems like. When I was a little boy, believe it or not, I was. My mom and dad taught me how to tie my shoes. They would say you go around like this, hold that, and you pull it through, and you tie it and shake it a little bit, make sure the knot's secure. When I first started learning how to tie my shoes, I would hold it. Mom would say, no, go around this way. Go around this way. And I'd do it a little bit at a time, and I have to think it through. Later on in life, I learned how to tie my shoes, and I could just sit down, tie my shoes without thinking it through. And then I could talk to you and carry on a conversation of tying my shoes without thinking it through. What happened is the knowledge that I had heard went in my ears, in my mind, processed there, dropped into my heart and became part of my life. And now I could do it without even thinking about it. Some people call that second nature. It's not biblically, it's first nature. This is what you ought to have been doing and what I should have been doing since the beginning. But even Adam made a mistake and caused us now to take that which should have been first nature. We have to work at it to bring it back to that position. In the mind, in the heart, produces product. Is anybody listening? And that's why the Word of God says this. Pop it up on Matthew 13, chapter verse number 23. But he who receives the seed, Word of God, on good ground, why should we do that? Because, listen, we don't want to fall away. We don't want to stumble. We don't want to drift out. Is he who hears the word of God, listen to this, and understands it. Which brings us to number four. If you're going to understand it, you're going to have to also produce. Bottom line, God has designed you to produce, not just the pastor of a church. Bottom line, God wants to use you to do something, to build His kingdom. And because you have heard it, and you understood it, because you placed a value, number one, on it, now you have a call on your life to produce. And producing means that you're going to produce something that's going to build the kingdom of God. Wherever it is, on your job, in the streets, with your neighbors, with your family, you are the walking, living billboard for Jesus. And until you understand that the only one that God wants to use is you, you are, in fact, like I used to say years ago, a full-time minister of Jesus Christ. And you have got to stop thinking the only ones that are full-time ministers of Jesus Christ are those in the pulpit areas. That's not true. You, if you're born of the Spirit of God, God wants to use you in a mighty way to change the world that you live in. And God wants you to produce the fruit that builds the kingdom of God. And sometimes we don't see that. But notice what it says in Matthew, the 23rd verse, 13th chapter. But he who receives seed of good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces. Guys, that's just the way it is. It's what life is all about. And by the way, you will never be happy, nor will you ever be fulfilled in anything in life until you start to produce for God. Oh yes, you'll have your homes, and oh yes, you'll have your nice cars, and oh yes, God's not against great vacations, and oh yes, God wants you to be blessed in every area, but you'll be fulfilled in building the kingdom of God, because you are made to do that. And until you realize that every day is a day to bring forth fruit, Jesus comes to a fig tree with his disciples. He goes up to the fig tree, and man, it's full of leaves. It's beautiful. It's that time of year when fig trees produce. It's got this great green on it, you know, the leaves. Should be having fruit on it. No fruit. And Jesus curses the fig tree. The next day they come back, the fig tree is dried up and dead. Anything that doesn't produce is worthless. And will eventually dry up and die. And eventually, here's what will happen to you. You will come to church for a while, sit and listen to me, watch me catch on fire, watch me explode, and then eventually you will walk away and never go on. Why? Because you didn't take earnest heed to the things that are really important, and you slipped away. And that's your future. And it's your call. And I can't make you do it. You're called by God to produce every one of us. Different areas, different levels, but you are the full-time ministers that God's calling. Which brings us to the last point. Last point, if I'm going to place a value on the things of God, learn how to hear to understand, and produce, I'm going to have to apply faith to it. Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. Notice what it says in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 23. Pop it up for me. But he who receives the seed of good ground, and he who hears the word and understands it and indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. What's he talking about? When you start to produce and you don't see the answers and the results, you're going to have to believe God for the results. It's God, if you're good ground and you're doing your job, that brings forth the harvest. And sometimes we don't see the harvest at all. Sometimes we don't know it's happening. Sometimes we're in a place where we say to ourselves, I put all that time in, I worked hard for that, I did my part, and no results. Nobody does anything. And you're going to have to put faith that says God is the one that brings the 30, 60, or 100-fold return. God is the one that brings the harvest. I'm not responsible for the quantity. I'm responsible for the quality. I'm putting in my job. He brings the results. And when you don't see the results, you'll be discouraged and you will quit like most people. I'll tell you a little story. I don't know how many years ago, Debbie, I was in my mid-30s. Debbie's was just turning 30. We were pastoring in a church called in Lake Arrowhead. And we had a church of maybe 100 people at this particular time. 80 to 100 people would show up on a Sunday. That was big. And I remember this one guy got saved. When you have a church of 80 to 100 people showing up and a guy gets saved, it is a monumental deal. We were very excited. This young one, one young man gets saved. He's just excited. He gives his life to Jesus. And then after church, he comes up to me and he says, "Pastor, can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." I'm just thrilled because I know he got saved. I know it was real. I knew the conversion was real. It was with tears. It was great. He really cared. And now he wants to talk to me. And he says, "Pastor, I'm a wanted man. There's a warrant out for my arrest in Oceanside, California. The police are looking for me. I broke into a house. I stole some stuff. They know it's me. And they're looking for me. And I was hiding in the mountains and came to church. I am so depressed. I am thinking to myself, couldn't I just get somebody cool saved who will just get saved and come back to church without a lot of problems?" I'm like this new preacher, you know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest with you. And I wanted to tell him, "Oh, just stay in the church and just stay here. Forget the cops. They'll never catch you up here." That's kind of like what my flesh was saying. But I knew what I had to say. I said, "Go back, my friend, and tell them you're turning yourself in and get it over with and let's go for God." He says, "Okay." Walks down to the police department. Didn't walk. Drives down to the police department. Takes a bus or something. He gets down there. Goes up to the counter, the police department, says to the officer, "I'm so-and-so. You have a warrant out for my arrest. I'm turning myself in." I would have thought the police would have said, "Good job, young man. Great, great. I'm so happy. Thank you for coming in. Let's settle this problem." They don't. They come over the counter, grab his hands, handcuff that dude, and threw him in the slammer with a bunch of big ugly guys. He's in there, he gets one phone call. Guess who he calls? It's bad enough you aren't in church. One call, me. He says, "Pastor, I don't know what to do." He tells me the story. I said, "Guy, I feel so bad. I told you to do this, and now they've thrown you in jail. I really feel bad." I said, "Man, what can I do?" He says, "Listen, I'm sure there must be bail." I said, "Okay, I'm going to come down and tell them I'm responsible. I'll take you back, and I'll take care of you, and I'll be responsible for you." They said, "That's fine." I went down there and told them that. They said, "Hey, that's great. Here's his bail. $1,500. We didn't have a penny to our name. Kids hadn't eaten that week. We hadn't bought groceries. We hadn't paid the bills of the church. Well, offering that weekend happened to be $1,500, just enough to pay the rent of the church building. And this guy's in prison, so I go talk to leaders of the church. I said, "I feel like we need to take the $1,500. We'll go without this week. Our family can make it. And we're going to go and bail this kid out of prison. Bring him back, get him strengthened in God, take care of him and nurture him like God would have us to do." I go down there, pay the $1,500. He gets out of prison. He gives me a big hug with tears in his eyes. I say, "Okay, man, I'll see you in church Sunday." Never saw him again. I wanted to kill that little sucker. I was like, so mad, wouldn't you be? I mean, my kids didn't eat. Nobody got the bills paid. The church couldn't help anybody. We're broke anyway. I was like, so mad. Years went by. I felt like I was taken advantage of. Years go by. I'm talking 10, 15, 20 years goes by. All of a sudden, I receive a letter, handwritten from some guy. Read the letter. The guy's a missionary on the other side of the planet. I read his name at the bottom. I said, "Could that be that kid? Isn't that kid that I want to kill all of these years?" He went back, straightened up the thing, did his time, got out of prison, went immediately in the mission fields, and was in a country I didn't even know of, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of those years, I was ticked off. Like some of you, because you don't get the results that you thought you should have had right off the bat. And that's why faith has got to go to work on the fruit that you work. The fruit comes because you have understood. And because you understand, because you have learned how to hear, and because you learned how to hear, because you placed a value on the Word of God. If God spoke to you today, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Woo! Isn't that good?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about the Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.